back with more of The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
All right, let's get to our buy-sell trade presented by Buffalo Sports. Go there where you can buy, sell, and trade new and used sports equipment on McKinley Parkway in our buy-sell trade today. And we'll bring in Darren Dreger on this one. Rick Nash retires. Simple as that. Rick Nash is a Hall of Famer. Buy, sell, trade. We'll start with you, Dregs.
Well, I'm a bit biased, so I'm going to buy. I suppose statistically, the numbers may not be there. 437 goals, 805 points over 1,000 NHL games played. But, you know, I think we have to remind ourselves that it is the Hockey Hall of Fame. It's not the National Hockey League Hall of Fame. He doesn't have Stanley Cups, but he's got two Olympic gold medals. He's got the Art Ross, a major award. So, and the reason I announced my bias is because Rick Nash was and always will be a good guy. From a media perspective, you know, anytime you had any dealings with Rick Nash, he was always a pro about it. He always had time, and he treated people the right way. So for me, that goes a long way.
I think he also has a Rocket Richard trophy, too, I think.
Yeah.
I think he scored 45 that year, maybe, when he won. But, yeah, I'll echo what you say with the good guy, because I played with Rick Nash in New York, and, man, like, he was the nicest person with the trainers, with the media, with the hotel staff, flight attendants, everything. To me, he was just the kind of guy you would want on your team. That's for sure.
Yeah. River? And look, you know what? I don't know how far we're going into the Rick Nash conversation here, but, you know, credit to this guy too. He's 34. You know, the fire still burns. Of course, he's chasing a Stanley Cup. But, you know, he's had as many as four or five on-record concussions. And the most recent one, you know, he's still dealing with the post-concussion symptoms. So he's listening to the medical people and the doctors that he's seeing, and he's doing what's best for the long-term health and what's best for his family. So good on Rick Nash for just recognizing that his long-term health is more important.
Okay, I'm just going to ask you guys a question. You can tell me one or the other, okay? This guy that I'm going to talk about had multiple concussions in the National Hockey Leagues. I think upwards of 10. He played 1,363 games, 513 goals, 1,216 points, 1,463 penalty minutes, opposed to Rick Nash's 1,060 games played, 437 goals for 805 points, 750 penalty minutes. Which guy would you put in the Hockey Hall of Fame?
Well, who are you talking about?
Jeremy Roenick.
Well, I think they both should be in there.
Yeah, Roenick should be in the Hall of Fame. There's no question about that.
Jeremy Roenick is an absolute no-brainer. Yeah. On more than just his hockey, he was a face of the league. People, you either absolutely hated Jeremy Roenick or you absolutely love him. And how he's not in there, and we're talking about Rick Nash going into the Hockey Hall of Fame, is mind-boggling when Jeremy Roenick, a guy like him, is still not in there. So I'm going to sell that he's not going to go in. He was a pretty darn good player. I had a chance to play with him.
That'll be a quick sell for me too, but just because I think I would have liked to have seen Rick Nash get healthy and play longer. I think his numbers would have carried him, but it's an early exit, so I will say that. But Petey, you go move on to something else if you want.
No, I'm going to buy it too. So I'm going to buy it. I feel like Dregs said it perfectly. It's not the NHL Hall of Fame. It's the Hockey Hall of Fame, and I feel like he lived up to expectations and the hype. Let's get into the Sabres. Dregs in Carolina tonight. Let's settle something here. How do you feel about the Carolina Hurricanes post game ritual? Dance ceremony.
I'm good with it. I like it. I don't love it. I can appreciate, you know, I almost engaged with you a few days ago, Petey, when you were taking it apart, but our good friend and colleague Marty Barras stepped in, so I didn't have to. And then I thought, I'm just gonna leave it alone. Look, you know, this is a club and an organization historically that it has had trouble drawing fans, period, and they still do. So If this type of gimmick can keep those people in the building till that point of the game, then I don't know that that's a bad thing. And what was interesting to me, so I did a bit of research on this probably 3-4 weeks ago. And you guys are like Rod Brind'Amour was an honest hockey player.
Yeah.
Fair?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Very honest.
Now, it was either his idea in concert with Justin Williams or Justin Williams brought it to Rod, and Rod fully endorsed it. And in fact, he stands underneath the umbrella, the tunnel, and watches every single time they do it. Now, apparently they pulled it from Europe. I mean, you see this on occasion with some of the European teams. But if it's okay with Rod the Bod, then it's okay with me.
Best argument I've heard about this by anybody, Dregs, you're absolutely right. Rod Brind'Amour was the guy in the gym at 7 a.m., in the gym after practice, riding the bike after games. He played the game with such honesty, and yeah, absolutely think that's the best.
Well, you know
argument.
What, Marty, as you get older, you get softer, so that's probably what's happening to Rod the Bod. Come on, man. This is a joke right now. What is going on here? Anyway, moving
you,
on.
So hold on. So if you guys are playing with the Carolina Hurricane, now, I'm sure that not everyone loves it. I don't know. I haven't pulled the entire dressing room. Maybe they do all love it. You guys wouldn't have, you wouldn't have partaken in this. You'd have said, I'm not doing that.
I would
the
absolutely.
Kid in the choir who wasn't singing, Drags.
I would absolutely partake in this because this is, you do what you do with the team. And whether you don't like it or not, you are going to do it because that's just what you do because it's a team thing. So I would support this with my teammates, but I certainly wouldn't like it.
Although
you look at their faces,
slap shot, you know,
look like, at all their faces,
how they feel about doing the fashion show.
But I mean, come on, like when Tom Dundon took over control of the Carolina Hurricanes, you knew that, you know, he was going to think outside the box, and you know, he's not taking credit for this, nor should he, because he doesn't deserve credit for it. But there isn't a whole lot around the Carolina Hurricanes that surprises me, to be honest. So, you know, it's been an easy team to pick on over the last few seasons, maybe more than that. So I, from a hockey perspective, this isn't one of the areas that I'm going
to
take.
Dregs, I hate to say it, but I'm going to tell you this. It's going to take one other organization to follow this trend up to try and outdo Carolina, and then you're going to have something that might take off in the National Hockey League. I'm going to tell you right now.
Isn't this Carolina topping Vegas's pregame? Like you look at Vegas's pregame show. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like this is nothing like it, but it's kind of like at the other end of the game after a win.
I look at this as kind of like an NFL football touchdown where those guys get in the end zone and all of a sudden they had to have rehearsed all these things until they're taking hours to do it. But it's fun. It you know, I'm sure the fans in Carolina are enjoying it. So,
well, where were you on the Carolina Hurricanes and Hartford Whalers jersey? Because there was some criticism about that too, saying it's a slap in the face to Hartford fans because they lost the organization and then now they won a cup or whatever. I mean, did you like that they wore the Whalers jerseys or did you not care? I loved it personally. I know
love them.
Like we just saw a picture of them here on the monitor and
yeah.
I mean, it just so nostalgic.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, they're honoring the Hartford Whalers. You know, if Ray Ferraro or one of the great old Hartford Whaler guys has an issue with it and wants to acknowledge that issue social media, I respect that. But at the end of the day, I mean, the Hartford Whalers, you know, don't exist in the National Hockey League. They were the Carolina Hurricanes. So I think that this is just honoring one of the great franchises in NHL history. I didn't have a problem with it.
Darren Dreger joining us on the Instigators here, as he always does, Friday at 11:30. He's at Darren Dreger on Twitter, TSN Hockey Insider. Let's get into the Sabres a little bit more. Point projection for the Sabres in and around 99 points. Rivs has them at 92. Marty has them at 97. Where do you have them if you don't have a projection necessarily? Are they in the playoffs for you at the end of the year?
Yeah, they are in the playoffs for me. You know, this is a team that has got past the midpoint of the regular season, and you can see that they're the real deal. Now, a lot can happen in the remaining games, but I'm a believer. And, you know, we've talked about what Jason Botterill might be doing moving forward, and I don't know that there's a whole lot that needs to be done, but I think that there are some areas, again, that we've talked about, secondary scoring and whatnot, that he's going to be on the lookout for. So, it doesn't look like Jeff Skinner is slowing down a whole bunch. You know, Jack Eichel is back healthy again. So they still have all the elements and the components there. And as long as that doesn't change, the Buffalo Sabres remain a playoff team for me.
Dregs, the Islanders are playing better under Barry Trotz. And, you know, the Sabres are battling, as you pointed out, to stay in the race. The Columbus Blue Jackets may be a team that may fall if there's some movement with Panarin and Bobrovsky. But first of all, What's going on with Sergei Bobrovsky, and what do we expect out of the meeting that office is going to have with him today before practice?
Well, they've got to get on the same page. I mean, that's pretty obvious. But, you know, I think you guys know Sergei Bobrovsky. He is a different dude. I mean, that's just putting it pretty bluntly. And he's not going to shy. He's not going to cower to who's ever in that meeting, wherever it is, in the dressing room, in the boardroom, in Columbus, wherever it is. If he's got an issue, he is going to declare what that issue is, and they're going to talk about it, and they're going to have to work around it. You know, I give Columbus credit for not taking us inside to where all of the stories are being told, but it was a bizarre press release, wasn't it? I mean, they basically told us nothing other than he wasn't going to be with the team in Nashville. So clearly, it's a team self-imposed one-game suspension. And then they talked about, you know, some of the reasons behind it, the philosophical difference, all of this stuff, but they don't identify the specific case. So what we're left to do is speculate. And I don't know, maybe there was a battle behind the scenes with John Tortorella. Don't know. Maybe there was a battle with management. Don't know. I know that he got pulled on Tuesday versus the Tampa Bay Lightning, and he didn't return to the bench. I mean, he got pulled with, what, 11, 12 minutes left in the period? You know, you guys know, normally the guy goes into the back, he breaks his stick, takes his gear off, grabs a ball cap, and he comes back out on the bench in a couple of minutes, and Bobrovsky didn't do that. So I don't know if John Tortorella sent a trainer back there to say, look, we got to get this guy back onto the bench, and he said, I'm not coming out. That was one theory that was thrown at me, but obviously there's more going on there than what we know at this stage.
What does this do when you're trying to negotiate with Bobrovsky on a contract? I mean, is this something that is going to be sour grapes for Sergei, and he's just going to say, I'm not signing here?
Well, look, I mean, the team can't have this stuff. Whatever happened was offside from a team perspective. Otherwise, they're not taking the approach that they did and not inviting all the scrutiny and the public attention in the fashion that, you know, we're spending the time that we are. So look, what they need Sergei Bobrovsky to do, frankly, is stop the puck and be a star goaltender between now and February 25th. Now, what we also know is that he's got no trade, no move protection. So if Bobrovsky doesn't want to go anywhere between now and the deadline, he's not going anywhere. And if he wants to test the free agent market, and I think that he probably will, then that's the path that he's going to go now. Again, this guy does not lack confidence in any way, shape, or form. But as Marty knows, you can't play that position without being cocky or have a high level of confidence. And Bobrovsky has both of those in abundance.
And you can't play that position.
I would say that Marty has neither of those.
Well, no, I have plenty of everyone. But you can't play the position if the team is not behind you either. And if there was a leadership group meeting before they boarded the plane after the game in Tampa Bay going back to Columbus, and then it leads to Bobrovsky not being on the against Nashville in that game, which is a big game for them. Play one of the top teams in the National Hockey League. So I don't know that he has the support of his teammates right now, and it seems like Tortorella and Kekalainen do because they went ahead and beat Nashville. So that, to me, is a big red flag right there too.
But if that's the case, what do you do with this guy? I mean, if it's a dressing room issue and he's lost the support of the leadership group, you know, that smells to me like there should have been more than a one-game suspension, a team-imposed suspension. Yeah. Again, we're merely speculating because, you know, Columbus, I guess, didn't have much of a choice in protecting what actually happened. But at some point, you know, guys do what I do. We're going to find out.
Yep.
We're going to get the facts, and then we can all make our decisions from there as to who's in the right, who's in the wrong.
So what was the discipline? They gave him what, a one-game suspension?
Yep.
Well, doesn't he sit that game out anyway?
No, he wasn't even...
No, he did.
You know what I'm saying? They're going to come back with the backup anyway. Big deal.
Yeah. I don't know. It was bizarre.
It's a nice shirt you have on there, Dregs. And you got the Dregger Cafe sign behind you, too.
Yeah.
Is that you bring that over to Europe with you?
What do you got? Look at this.
What
you
is that?
You guys get one of these? That is Golf Town, I think, is selling them. It's a Humboldt Broncos Super Stroke Putter Grip.
Love it.
You can see the
is that a big one? Is that the big
It's the medium
one?
Size.
It's the medium size.
Yeah, it's the medium size. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Wow.
You know what they say about guys with medium hands, medium grip, right? And the golf club?
No.
No. Okay. All right. Humboldt Golf Group. What's that?
You want to elaborate? No. Enlighten our listeners and our viewers?
No. Are those for sale online?
I think they are. Yeah. We got a nice package from Golf Town in Canada, so I assume you can get them online.
So you can get them where?
Golf Town.
Are you getting some, Marty? Yeah.
I don't know, but I may make a trip. I think those are fantastic. And again, we saw one of the Humboldt Broncos player that went back to the ice after a long rehab, and that was a very heartwarming story. So you got to keep supporting, the guys that are battling.
I just got my sticker for my helmet, the Humboldt Broncos sticker, at like a charity game. And so many people, anytime I put that thing on, they ask where I got it. Everybody wants one. Everybody wants a Humboldt Broncos logo. Dregs, thanks for your time today. I did have one more question for you, but we're out of time.
So, hey, boys, have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too. We'll talk to you next Friday.